You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to the Cork card on Tuesday evening. Seven races to go out this evening, of varying quality, but overall I'd say it's a pretty good card. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Good morning, Mr. Holding. How are you?
Morning, Alex. Very well, thank you.
Good. Good to hear. As I said, a few races that are slightly tricky, shall we say, but there's a few classy performers in a few of these races. It's not a bad card for a Tuesday even.
I'd say it's pretty good. Yeah. Lots of runners. Lots of decent betting races as well. I think that's another thing to mention. No odds on shots, apart from the first race, of course. But then we've got quite a few that come here off the back of very good speed figures as well, which will please perhaps one or two regular podcasters. I know that I'm very much into my speed figures. So All in all, a decent little night at Cork.
Okay, we'll kick things off with the 5:30. It is a maiden over 6 furlongs, and only mine is a warm order here. Pat Smullen takes the ride. 4-6 at the time of recording, Andy. You'd expect that she is very much the one to beat here. Of those with experience, there hasn't been anything that's really set the world alight. Maybe that a newcomer could come and ruffle the feathers of the favourite, but how do you see this one going?
Yeah, there's every chance that this favourite will win this quite comfortably here. A lot depends on what happens with Diamond Fields, who was a bitter disappointment when short price favourite, very much well touted on debut at the Curragh last month, but completely fluffed its lines, suffered from perhaps a bit of stage fright, who knows, but they clearly think a bit of that, the fact that it went off as short as it is. And Wayne Lord, in his column yesterday in the Monday Jury, suggested that he still keeps the faith. So be interesting if there's good money for that Diamond Fields yet again. But Only Mind sets a really good standard here. She ran well on debut in a good race, which is won by Rockaway Valley from the Jessica Harrington stable, and a good speed figure. And the third, Air Vice Marshall, he's gone the right way since. That form looks solid. And then Group 3 was taken on board by Joseph Murphy's 2-year-old last time out to Group 3 at the Curragh, and it went the way of the David Watchman trained Most Beautiful, who very much is the apple of the eye of Connections, and I think will make into a very smart filly for next year as well. She's certainly a 2-year-old worth keeping on the right side of, and Only Mine pushed her all the way to the line as well. She's bred to get further than this, being by the Derby winner Paul Moir, so you'd imagine in time 7 furlongs even, Moir will be absolutely bang on. She's drawn stall 11 as well today. The higher you are, the better your chances at Cork on the straight track. So she's got every bit of advantage you need, really, for a short price favourite. Because if it wasn't for Diamond Fields, I think she'd be an absolute penalty kick here. But she does get the vote, and I actually think 8 to 11 is not a bad price.
OK, so Only Mine, hard to get away from.
Absolutely.
Okay. Only Mind the pick in the 5:30. The 6 o'clock is next up, a handicap over 6 furlongs. Not the highest quality race that we'll see on the card, I think it's fair to say, Andy, but it is competitive, and we're 9th through the field at the time of recording, and we've got 4 places to go at. So plenty to whet the appetite from a betting point of view. Where should we start with this one?
Well, we'll start with Longfield Lad. I just want to mention him because he's the trailblazer in this race. He often goes off like his tail's on fire, and he's drawn his stall 1, which makes life a little bit tricky here, trying to work out which side of the track is going to be favoured. Usually it's the stand side, but sometimes when they do split into two groups, that far side has held sway. So we need to keep a BDR on Longfield Lad here, or certainly most of the runners do. But of the ones that are drawn high, I'd slightly prefer Counter Carabas, who's been a fairly reliable source in the last few runs or so. A couple of dips on the horizon, a couple of bumps in the road, but generally speaking, has been in reasonably good form, varying from 7 furlongs to 6 furlongs. And racing over today's distance last time out at Nace, he showed up quite prominently in a race that was won by Burren View Lad. but was noted doing some really good light work, and that's very much this horse's run style. He doesn't get involved in the races until the back end of the race, and you'll be expecting him to come light off a strong gallop here. Certainly can give Avalanche a bit of a squeak as well on that nice run. That was noted doing some good light work, and there's been a bit of money for him this morning, as does Barbecue coming to the equation as well. She's been favourite virtually every time she's run so far this season, and although she's failed to win, she does have some good solid form here at Cork. She's run here a couple of times and hit the frame on both starts. So quite an intriguing little sprint handicap. But Counter Carabas, largely speaking, is fairly reliable. And when I've got a horse like that in a race like this, that's the way I tend to go.
OK, so consistency, your order of the day. In the 6 o'clock. The 6:30 is next up, and it's a filly's handicap over 7 furlongs. Some nice fillies going to post here as well. Octavia, we'll start with that one here, Andy. Did win yesterday, so whether she turns up or not is open to debate. How would you play the race with or without her?
Well, I'm happy that she does run, because I think if she does, she'll win again. I've quickly done the speed figures from last night at Nice, or yesterday afternoon, and no great surprise that she was the fastest furlong per furlong time on that card by quite some margin. She went a hell of a gallop that night at Nice. And of course, we do know Nice suits front runners, and so she was obviously certainly advantaged to a little degree. But this also is a track, Cork, which favours being on the speed. Now, it's going to be an interesting little tactical battle here. Who leads into the first corner between Moentry, who regular followers of Irish Racing knows a real trailblazer, and, of course, Octavia, if, of course, David Minehan's charge wants to make the running again. They don't want to be cutting each other's throats, and I think Wayne Lorden is riding Octavia will be mindful of that, because he doesn't necessarily have to lead on Octavia. OK, she made all the running last time, and she was prominently ridden the time before, but prior to that, all her runs, she's just been tracking the speed and being held up, so she has got more strings to her bow, so to speak. She's not that one-dimensional. She could get a lead off Moentry and still win this. Basically, she's just in a filly in great form. She was a filly that one or two podcasters, if you cast your mind back, will remember that I suggested that she's a filly to stay on the right side of. How she kept finishing second on the all-weather at Dundalk was beyond me. She was just far better than what she displayed on many occasions. It was just rub of the green and luck in running which prevented her from winning. But she's finally got her head in front. Her confidence has obviously got to be high. And if she turns up here 24 hours after she scored in emphatic fashion yesterday, then hopefully she'll win again.
OK, Octavia the pick then in the 6:30. 7 o'clock is a listed race, the Platinum Stakes, over a mile. And some nice types going to post here, Andy Holding. Ashira is the market leader as we speak. 11-8 at 10:20 on Tuesday morning. Won in very impressive fashion last time out, and this is more difficult coming up against more established performers, the likes of Shawnee, Piri Wango, who tend to run very, very solid races. In my pocket, another likely danger, similarly unexposed, which is easy for me to say. John Ox's charge there, but has all the hallmarks of a decent race this, Andy.
Yeah, not more so than Ashira, though. Been waiting for her to run again since that victory at the Curra on the 26th of June. A spectacular one it was as well, not only visually but on the clock. She covered the last 3 furlongs in a sensational 35 and change. And the runner-up, Amgarin Lass, won very, very readily next time out at the Killarney Festival a few weeks ago. So that form has taken an immediate boost. And the fact that Dermot Wells' charge beat the Genox filly by 7.5 lengths going away suggests that quite straightforwardly that she's going to make into a pattern race performer. And Dermot Weld has also wasted no time in putting into a listed race. I actually think this is quite a weak affair. I know, Alex, you said this is a race that's full of horses that have got a bit of experience, but most of them are pretty much plateaued and are flatlined. We have only got In My Pocket is really any major upside attached to his chances. And if you just look at the bare bones of that Navan win, though, back in April, it doesn't read or amount to a great deal. He beat a horse called Cenotaph, who's got beaten off in handicap marks off the 80 since the Ian O'Brien stable. And the time figure was absolutely tragic. Not one horse has won since out of that race. So even though this horse is obviously well touted this morning, the betting at 4-1, I think he's on a mountain to climb In My Pocket. So Ishira ticks all the boxes. She's from an informed stable, from a yard that does really well with progressing horses from maidens into group company, and the time suggests last time out that she's very much up to this standard.
Okay, so Ashira, a confident pick in the 7 o'clock. The 7.30 is race 5 on the card, and it's an apprentice handicap over a mile. Plenty of these arriving in good form, Andy. Corbus, Reckless Lad, Frozen Lake, the first three in the betting, have all been winning in recent weeks. Which one do you fancy here?
Well, I did fancy Frozen Lake, but unfortunately he's a non-runner. They've literally just pulled him out as I was doing this.
Oh, that must be in the last 5 minutes, yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, because he would have been the number one choice. But I have got a substitute, because I was going to have two against the field in that race. So it kind of like makes life a little bit easy for me here. In nominating, Edward Lynham's charge. 18 Summers is the number one vote. Top weight for a reason. Courtesy of several good runs in real humdinging handicaps. Most notably last time out in a good race on the figures at the Curra behind Corker Hill. That was the race at Ripple's Effect. That was well backed, and I still think John Oxley's three-year-old is a horse to keep on the right side of. Prior to that, had run really well for the second year running in the Cork Derby. Major event this year went the way of Ballybacker Queen, but there's been lots and lots of winners out of that race subsequently, the likes of Shadigan and Unsinkable, the second and third have both won since. So it wasn't a bad return or a bad run by Edward Lynham's charge, who made the running on that occasion. Also, the year before, was second to Chance to Dance in the very same race. I've just got a feeling this horse maybe deserves dropping back in trip. A little bit of a question mark from a mile and a half to a mile. Most of its best form, incidentally, is probably over a mile and a quarter, but does have quite a bit of speed, this horse, so it might not be that bad. Edwin Lyons' horses continue to thrive as well. He's had a couple of winners this week, one at Nace and one at the Galway Festival, Whiskey Sour. So it's a yard in good form. The horse remains in good nick. And this is very much a class drop from its last two or three runs. So 18 Summers is the automatic choice, with the defection of Frozen Lake.
Okay. 18 Summers then in the 7.30. The 8 o'clock is the penultimate race on the card, and it's a Group 3 contest over a mile and a half. Some nice types in here, Andy. Some very well-respected connections, of course. Dermot Weld has two in here. Aidan O'Brien mob-handed with three. But you can rule a few of them out, you'd imagine, on the strength of their form to date. And we'll start with Xander here. Dermot Weld's charge. Pat Smullen takes the ride, and would be no surprise to see her go one better here than her run last time out.
Yeah, obviously bumped into Policecock back on the 13th of May. That was a good time figure, and it was a race that very much got me onto Policecock as being a horse to stay on the right side of. Unfortunately, she hasn't quite gone the way that I would have hoped, nor John Ox would have hoped, Jim Bulger would have hoped either, even though she's run with a great deal of credit in Group 1 races subsequently. So it wasn't a bad run by Xander, certainly no Xander in this race, but there is a very consistent older horse in the shape of Altes, which I'm going to go for here. Jim Bulger's filly has been a model of consistency ever since she won on debut at Killarney. And luckily for her, though, she hasn't actually duplicated that success in several runs since, but you can't fault her willingness and her durability as well. And, you know, you've only got to look at the horses she's been up against in recent times. Third to second step on our last race last year at the Curra. Second to Missinga, that very promising horse from Dermot Wellstay, but of course it is reliant on heavy ground and hasn't been seen since. And then bumped into Panama Hat, who was a resurgent individual in the first time blinkers of the Doubt Roscommon. But you'd have to suggest that Altes was absolutely desperate and lucky, because Panama Hat turned into the home straight, looking as though he was going nowhere. And all of a sudden he just decided to take off right down the middle of the track. He came from last to first in the space of about two furlongs and ran out of the top of everything. And Altes was just basically beating all the others up quite comfortably. And along comes Andrew Oliver's charge to upset the party. So she's been absolutely desperate and lucky not to get ahead in front. Her time figures are really good. She stays well. And she's got a good run under her belt, of course, around the track as well. Of course, as I mentioned, behind Missinga. So despite the lurking presence of Xander and Easter and, on a pedestal, I still think this Altes is by far and away the most consistent and reliable in this race. So she gets a vote there.
I'll test the pick then in race number 6. The 8.30 is the final race on the card, and it is a handicap over a mile and a half. Doesn't look the easiest race to call this, Andy, but we do have a fairly short price favourite in Russian Roulette, who arrives here off the back of a win. That was a marked up turn in form for Charles O'Brien's charge. 15-8 as we speak. The rest are all available at each way prices. What do you fancy in the last?
Well, it was the first time that this horse had raced over a trip, so obviously improved for the step up from a mile to a mile and a half, as his breeding suggests. He was going to benefit from an increase in distance, being by Pantra Celeb, and that obviously worked the oracle. The bare form of that race looks really good as well. Beat a horse called Lego de Vegas, Of course, runs in the first race tonight at Roscommon, makes its debut juvenile hurdling, but that horse has gone on to win on the flat subsequently. Mr. Bossman, who was seemingly a well-handicapped horse, was back in third on that occasion. And the way this horse powered clear of those two informed performers in the latter stages certainly suggests that he's capable of defying an £11 higher mark. If anything, this race is easier for me. I don't think there's the likes of Lego de Vegas or Mr. Bossman in here. You can make a little bit of a case out for Glendar's Best, but that horse seems to save its best form for very soft ground, and in particular Ballinrobe. Settle for Red will probably drag this field along at a good pace from the get-go, and is likely to give you a good run for your money up the front, but is yet to prove it stays a mile and a half. And St. Peter's Square, well, he's been a long-standing maiden over hurdles and on the flat for quite a while. I'm not sure whether he's the most durable of characters either. So I actually think, to be fair, this is not a bad price. I was expecting even money, 11 to 10 for this Russian roulette, and we can get sort of 2 to 1, 15 to 8 this morning with most firms. So I actually think we should take advantage of that.
Okay. Lovely stuff. Russian roulette then in the final race from Cork. Great stuff, Andy. Best luck with your picks in Cork on Tuesday. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow for what seems like it'll be the 10th or 11th day in a row, won't it?
I was expecting a day off, but I think it's Roscommon again tomorrow, isn't it?
I think it is. Good. No days off for you just yet.
Nope.
Right, we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, Maddie.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.